Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It has been a while since I visited with my next guest, but we got breaking news delivered by the WNST tech service that's coming back. But more than that, we have the Gold Rush Sevens doubles, and I need everybody to come out and get these. I'm wearing my Fade Lee shirt. If you miss the show on Friday, the 23rd, you'll have another opportunity on the 6th of September to join me down at Fade Lee's in Lexington Market. Cheatstro's in this week, and then we have the last place teams coming in Labor Day, but we have Orioles action. And we're going to be doing this incredible Oyster tour that I can't wait for. Who would they say? He was a courageous man who ate his first oyster. So I'm going to be eating 26 oysters in 26 days, 26 ways around the bay. All sorts of people have been hitting me back, want to have an oyster with me. So I'm excited about that. It's all brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, because they keep my water clean. They can keep your water clean. The oysters keep the bay water clean. And Liberty Pure is going to be a part of that. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, keeping Luke out on the road from training camp to Camden Yards training camp, while I'm banned and this guy's on roofs. Even though it's been very pleasant for late August, the roof thing's happening. Bill Cole and I got together for the first time this summer at Mako in Ocean City. And when I said Mako, like, Chris Pike is like, double A, MC. No. Different kind of Mako. Bill Cole is Cole Roofing. He is my – I tried to explain this to people out on the bay in Fager's Island. I said, he's my consigliere. And everybody that had seen, you know, the movie with De Niro got it. But how are you, man? Welcome back from the beach. And what is Mako? You want to tell people what Mako is? Because that's the, you know, that was the question of the week.
Yes. So thank you. Good to be here. I have missed you and this.
No, you didn't.
I do. I enjoy our time. I do want to clarify one thing. I think that quote about the courageous person eating the oyster, mm-hmm, I think that's completely wrong. Like, that person was starving. Like, it wasn't about courage. It was about surviving. And then afterwards, they were like, oh, well, you know, I survived, so we can continue to eat these. And then it moved on.
You're an oyster guy, like you're a deviled egg guy. Hold on. Like, you're a deviled egg guy. I send you funny deviled eggs. Every time Marcella puts deviled eggs with the little bacon on top over there, pork, I send it over to you. Oysters, are you in or are you out on oysters?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that oysters tend to be not too different from crabs in terms of, like, eating a crab experience is not just about eating the crab, right? It's the operation, it's the company, it's the sunshine, the cold beer, you know, like, it's an event. I think
my wife says that about clam bakes. We don't have those here, but that's right. What they do up there. Right. Yeah. Right.
So I think oysters are similar. Like, in April, you go to that first, like, charity bull and oyster roast, and it's like sunny out and it's warm, and it's like the first time, and the terrible.
But you're not getting my point. My awesome point is, you only eat them one way around here. You eat them with the cocktail sauce and the lemon, right? Like, that's a bull and oyster roast way to eat. I've eaten oysters that way for 50 years. I'm trying to open my mind of, like, I never order the oyster stew, as an example, at Costas, which comes in the special bowl made by the bread bowl guys. And, like, so there's a million different ways to eat. And,
yes,
you know, it's always, this is the problem, and this really would happen with the crab cake thing. It falls down the menu. And once it falls to, like, three or four down the menu, and I only go to your restaurant once or twice a year, right, I never try the Clams Casino because I don't like clams that much. It might be the best Clams Casino ever, but I'm getting the crab cake, the crab ball, the steak, the chicken, the fajita, the chicken tender, the chicken wing, the nacho. Like, it's just, I'm not getting that item on the menu. And I felt that way about oysters for a long time. And that's why I'm sort of doing this next month.
I think that my changing or opening of my mind around oysters was ending up in New Orleans
oh yeah
and going
things
in like Acme
right.
and sitting there, and you're like, wait a second, what
Put
is
butter on
this? This
that?
is an
Garlic?
oyster? What
On
is
a
this
grill?
thing? This is
What?
great.
Yeah, so, and listen, I just gave you two ways to eat them. And the thing that really sparked me was at Fade Lee's, and plug the Damie, whom I love as well. I mean, all my crab cake people are friggin' best. You know that, right?
Sure.
So Damie brought me a fried oyster. It might have been in your presence. I mean, you've been down there enough. In the old place, maybe about a year ago, she brought me fried oysters because I said something out loud like, I don't try new things or like, you know, whatever.
Right.
And she brought it over. It was breaded and it was like right out of the Acme Oyster House. And it turns out that Costas has fried shrimp that are the exact same recipe at the Acme Oyster House. And it took me till I was 52 years old to figure this out. Like, and now when I
Fried
go over to
oysters,
Costas, I never get a crab cake. I'm off the crab imperial. I just get fried shrimp. So I get into these things like, you know, go to Coco's and get that the coconut shrimp with the raspberry. It's unbelievable. So I'm at Fade Lee's. She brings me the fried oyster, and I'm like, my God, this is like fried chicken. You know, I'm like, this is really good. And I'm like, what? Okay. So like that began this whole journey to do this thing that, and they really are from the Oyster Recovery Partnership trying to educate people about the shells, the recovery, how they oxygenate the bay, how we bitch about crab prices, we don't have enough crabs, that these are the they are the filtration system for the Chesapeake Bay. And I want to
Sure.
educate people about that, really, and have some fun with
I
it,
think
eat
it's
some good food.
great. No, I think it's great. I mean, I love oyster stew if done right. Back in the day, this is like early Ravens days when they first moved downtown. We used to tailgate back in the neighborhood, far away. And I don't know, usually a mid-November game. One of my buddy's dads used to do a pot, the size of whatever, a
Oh, look
large
at
dog.
you. I
And
can smell it. I
Yeah,
smell
it
it
was
right now.
wonderful. It
I
was
know what those
amazing.
parking lots smelled like. I mean, that was something
Right.
down there, right?
That and then yes, fried oysysters. I'm with you, man. I'm
See, I'm
excited.
seeing
I
really
will hit you.
Gucci things. Like there's three places in Hamden, three that are, go look at their menu and you'd be like, never thought of putting that in. I'm gonna go over there and try that. And then you look
Right.
and you're like, oh, they have a kebab of this and a wing of that and a cucumber that and a, you know, whatever. And I'm like, all right, we're gonna eat out in September. So September's gonna be a big month around here. Bill, we have breaking news here. A couple things. There's a lot happening. I've been doing a lot of
Well,
writing.
can I just, I want to land.
I'm gonna piss you and everybody you know off in September. But and I don't apologize. I mean, but I just serve fair warning ahead of time. That I'm going to be chippy in September.
I want to land that last segment with don't sleep on Baltimore as a foodie town. Like
Oh, not at
people
all.
don't realize that. And it's really good. And when people come to town, if you take them to the right spots and people want to get a, explore. There's some amazing stuff going on in town around the food. So I
All
just
right.
wanted to land, I wanted to land that for us.
Well, I don't want to make you too hungry, but I'm like going through all these mignonette sauces and
Oh yeah, I'm
onions,
starving
and
already. Yeah.
there's a place in Ocean City, and it's a place I've never eaten in, but I want to. And Moeller used to tell me about it all the time, that they do this tequila lime. Okay, I'm sold. You know, let's
Sure.
go. There's oyster
Right.
shooters. You know, so every day I'm going to do it a different way, and it's going to be fun. So, I'm doing my declaration. I got to say, Declaration of Independence in around Labor Day with, you know, my one ballpark reporter running back and forth from baseball to football, very unfairly, very unfair, very unfair. But nonetheless, I'll be writing about that and what
Hey, was
kayfabe.
that a Trump impression that you just
Yes,
did
it
there?
was. Yes.
You've been practicing.
I'm practicing to make it go away in November, hopefully.
Good.
So keep it on Saturday Night Live where it belongs. But the kayfabe part of the media, and I'm going to get to that with you. With I had Cardin and Van Hollen on this week talking about journalists and the safety, journalism being the most dangerous job in the world by both of their measures of U.S. senators to say that out loud and about like what's going on with truth and all of that. So we'll get to that, but. Big breaking news is that we've had a tech service here from the beginning of time. And I want to tell the story out loud because everybody's asked me about this, right? From the beach every day on email for the last month and a half, We haven't had the text service. You're familiar with this, right? You get the
Of
text
course,
service?
of course.
Okay. So you're one of the people that asked me about it. And so we have breaking news here. Even though I broke your mug and I don't have a cold roofing mug here, and I don't know that I have a cold roofing anything in my office here to hold up to give you the love, but you have decided to take over sponsorship from Dennis and Koontz Ford of the tech service. I want to explain as the CEO front facing, because I always accuse Sashi Brown and I've accused Katie Griggs of being anything other than from out of town, and other than I'm very hopeful for what she could do for the Orioles, and I'll be writing a letter to her next month too. That I want to be front facing about the tech service, tell the whole story, because I don't think I've told it on the air at all, but I've told it to a few people the last few weeks because I'm trying to put it back together. What do you know about the WNST tech service now that you are the presenting sponsor of it?
What do I know now, or what do you want me to make up as the story that I thought all along? I always
When
thought
did you join
I always
and
thought Nestor was in the basement, like just typing out these messages to us, and it was coming straight from you to me because somebody called you with top secret information. That's what I always thought.
what?
Of
You're
course.
come on, dude. You're being
Serious.
kayfabe now. This isn't Masson. You're not Kevin Brown. You can say whatever you want.
No, I mean, I would say that I never really thought about it too much, but I did notice, that it was always, I'm gonna say first, but that's probably not entirely fair, but it was always like ahead of the curve, right? And can be sitting at the office and get the text and like holler down the hallway, "Hey man, blah, 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 blah," so it was always fun, but it's harder for me to stay connected to the sports teams these days, right? Like there's just a lot of stuff in the way. And when I have time to listen, or I'm listening to podcasts or books or whatever. So I'm not as connected to the sports teams, but I still like to know. And I hate how uneducated about the Orioles I am. Like, I wish I knew them better. Like I used to know the guys of my, younger days. But at least I would know who's on the DL, right? Or I would know who our draft pick was, or I would know somebody getting promoted,
My wife got flippant with me 2 days ago when the Eflin thing happened, and I said, "Eflin's on the DL. You don't know that?" She's like, "I've been working all day and I didn't get my WNST texts." And
Right.
I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna talk to Cole about sponsoring this." That's pretty much what I
Yeah,
said to her. So.
I mean, I just think it's one of those things that you sort of take for granted because it has been hitting my phone for so long.
For two
And
decades,
right.
I mean, it's
And
like. That's a lot of text. I mean, I don't know how many texts we sent out. I probably should go get the math from my old company because all of it's digitized. I have your phone number. I have your numbers. All of you. I have all of your phone number. And the one thing for me is total, no kayfabe at all. It was brought to me by someone you may know in the Doyle family. If anybody knows the Doyle family, one of the Doyle brothers was out in San Francisco running a company called M Snap back in 2000. And dude, I want to say it was five or six. It was before Facebook. It was like when my kid was the only one texting me with the little envelope in the corner of my flip phone. And I'm like, don't, I will never text with you. When you want me, you call me like a normal person and you interact with me. Remember the first time Kevin Byrne, I answered a text in his presence. He was infuriated at the disrespect I could possibly show for being in communication with with Ray at the station about perhaps breaking news that I was going to whisper to you and 10,000 other people in the tech service, right? So in 2005, six, our general manager came to me and said, "I have this guy. He's connected to your the Dr. Doyle and Tim and Danny. Yeah, do you want to like?" What would we do with the tech service? And I'm like, annoy the hell out of me the way my kid does. And then I thought, like, why would I would, this was at the point where like, I ain't giving you my phone number, right?
Right.
This is at the point where I'm like, giving somebody your phone number is like, really personal, like beyond per I can't think of anything more personal in 2005 or six than giving someone your phone number, like your personal number, right? That where you're going to call me and ring my flip phone, my BlackBerry at 3 in the morning. Like, phone number, like, I'm not giving that to a marketing company, a marketing guy like Nestor, that genius or idiot from Dundalk, depending on what they think I am, right? And we're all trying to data mine during this era and like get people on our newsletter, which people have got the newspaper every morning from us free of charge. I'm still the only non-paywall guy in the history of Baltimore. No one's ever paid for my media, and some would say it's not worth it anyway. But we don't have a paywall here, and I see that with the Banner and the Sun and Baltimore Business Journal. God bless them all. God bless all of your business models. But the paywall thing, there's a reason they call it a wall. It puts a wall up. Not a reach. It's a wall, like that wall.
Yeah,
But
we'll come
nonetheless,
back to that.
we'll
We'll
come
come
back
back
to
to
that.
that.
That's fine. It's a business model. It has to happen, right? So the tech service comes to me, and I'm like, what if I'm asking you for your phone number? What am I going to send you that makes it worth you signing up, giving you $100 off a cold roof to give you free crab cake at one of my spots? Like, taking your phone number is personal, and like, I was anti-spam. So I guess this is my long way of saying, like, the biggest thing for me is I was never gonna sell your phone number, spam you out, have you on some 900 gambler phone thing back in the day where Jim Fice is gonna be hitting you for picks. Like, I wasn't gonna do any of that, and I never did. And I think the thing I'm proudest of, beyond just crushing it with breaking news, and by the way, when you hear it in the future, hear Luke's voice, because he's the one doing it. I was the one originally doing it. You're like the third person that said to me, "You do know when that comes in, I hear it in your voice, right?" And I'm like, "That's really weird, dude. That to me, that's some weird ish." But nonetheless, so this came to me years ago, and I'll be really frank with you. Koons Ford Security Boulevard bought it from day one as a sponsorship piece. I never sold it. They never asked me how many were on it at its zenith, how many were on it in the end. But here's what really happened. You ready? I need a drink of coffee for this, because like, you run a business. Guess what happened to a digital company in 2006 that I was associated with called M Snap? Guess what happened to that company since then?
Well, I'm assuming that you didn't buy them, but and I don't think Google bought them, but someone maybe bought them, maybe.
Acquired would be, it was an acquisition. So they were acquired and then reacquired and then reacquired, and it was a company in Europe and then a company in the United States and a company, and now they're like done, right? So they went out of business but gave their business to this third party other business that I had to go find in the last 60 days around the 4th of July and say, what did we do? Let me understand it. And they're trying to sell me on the contesting part and the part where Cole Roofing sponsors your feedback. WNSG, text your greatest thoughts to us and we'll put them on our website and you'll win a $25 Cole Roofing gift card. So, like, dude, I've been doing radio 33 years. I can play that game all day. And I'm like, I don't know that that's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to send my text out. So, nonetheless, Koons Ford was acquired last year. They're no longer a WNST sponsor. I'm looking for some wheels. Anybody got wheels? Glen Burnie, let's go. So, I don't have a sponsor for the tech service the last 6 months, but we provided the tech service, and they literally shut the doors. And they're shutting the doors. Email went into my spam trap like in late June. Around the 4th of July, I figured out, like, And then I started making calls, and then I started doing cost, and then I started thinking this, and then I started thinking that, and I really want to do an app, which you're aware of. And I've just decided, you know what? We're just going to reinstitute the tech service in time for football season, and I'm going to call my buddy Bill Cole, and maybe he'll sponsor it.
Yeah, it was a really hard sell. I mean, we went round and round negotiating for hours. I actually am still picking sand out of my ears because we wrestled on the beach in Ocean City about it. And
Was that at
in the
Caesars or
end,
Fager's?
no, it was the first place.
Oh, the
Whatever.
75. Yeah.
Yeah,
All right.
Surfside or be whatever,
Shout out to
25.
McFall. There you go.
Yeah, no. I'm excited. tech service has been a part of my mobile phone experience since probably close to the beginning.
My
So
wife is beating me up
it's
about
so
it,
weird.
about Oriel transactions. We got to figure this out. So I appreciate you. You know I do. Will
At one
Carlos here.
point,
Yeah, go ahead.
you were asking about how long and how many, right? And I remember like switching phones at one point, and I'm like trying to clean up all the stuff, and I never deleted your texts, and
You
I
know,
was
I'm
kind of
doing some
going
writing.
through.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna tell my favorite text service stories.
Right.
In like, because I have lots of them. Because honestly, when my company got really good, when I knew Mike, and this would speak to our entrepreneurial spirit and what you sponsor here, and me kidding around half the time, but also running a business that's very, very serious in what I do, especially in breaking news. There ain't nobody more serious than WNST, and missing it makes people want it, and I'm in, and we're gonna re-engage. And here's one of the real problems, Bill. I stopped bragging about it. Because once it fell into like a European place bought it, the short code stopped working for it, and I could no longer add people to it, and therefore I couldn't promote it, right? So I could never add from it, and people would fall off because their carrier would go away, and I had no way to connect them because I had no way to reach these people. So nonetheless, that was all during the plague, let's say, right? So I guess the full circle story is I have all of these stories of being somewhere when my company got great, where I was on vacation somewhere, driving along and finding out that the Ravens got Anquan Boldin. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was literally in front of the Arizona Dome and Casey Willett, our reporter, got it first. About the Anquan Boldin thing, whatever, 2009, 10, 11, whatever it was. I was out there for spring training in the NFL owners' meetings, and my company broke it first, right? That when Ozzie Newsome had a health scare in Chicago, and we broke the news that Peter King read it on Sunday Night Football. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
so, you know, I
I
have
like
a proud history, but I want to bring it back, but I want to do it the right way. And with this new company, we're going to be able to do that. And with your sponsorship, gratitude for that. We'll probably make some memories again where somebody's on a boat or on a plane or like, oh my God, WNST reported what? What happened to who and how and when? We've been pretty good at that. I think we've been
here's
really
why
good
it
at that over
matters.
two decades.
Yeah, here's
And
why it
that's a credit
matters.
to Luke, by the way, not to
Right.
me. That is a Luke.
Here's why it matters. March 12th, 2020, 3:11 p.m. Major League Baseball cancels rest of spring training, delays start of regular season by at least 2 weeks due to coronavirus. Same day, hour and a half later, NCAA has canceled men's and women's basketball tournament and all spring championships due to coronavirus. Orioles outfielder first baseman Trey Mancini underwent successful surgery to have malignant tumor removed from his colon. Same
How about
day.
this? How about
Still
this,
going,
dude?
same day, or no, I'm sorry, next day,
No,
franchise
no,
tag on Pro Bowl Matt Jordan.
hang on a second here. What maybe the contest, the first contest we do with this new fancy schmancy company with their fancy schmancy tech service thing, and I'm gonna present this to my girl at the fancy schmancy tech service place, right? The international fancy because they're not in America, but they're cool anyway. I like them anyway. How about this for a contest? You ready, Bill? Where were you when you got the biggest WNST text you ever got? You were somewhere in line waiting for a sandwich, woke up, went to bed. They drafted Lamar Jackson. Luke could do an hour on breaking news that happens after 9:48 p.m. because he's old school Pennsylvania. Walton's goes to bed and thinks like, I can't send a text after 10 p.m. I don't send text before 7 a.m. But stuff does happen in the middle of the night, like the bridge going down. And we were together when that happened at 3:12 in the morning. I would have had it. You know, because Jessica sent it to me and her husband, thank God for him, was one of the divers. Like, people talked to me, bro. I had two senators, three congressmen, and three county executives on last week. So where were you when you got the WNST tech service? I think that's gonna be my shtick to re-engage. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like that. Like, I don't know. It
I'm gonna
would
tell the Anita Marks story too in the cafeteria on Liars Luncheon day when I broke the breaking news on the schedule and seeing Dick Cass, Anita Marks, everybody in the room reaching for their phone. And somebody flippantly said something to me last week at Mako, really flippantly, like, you should write an ad that now that your tech service is back, 105.7 will be able to get their news again.
All right, yeah. I knew who said that, but I'm not going to throw them under the bus right now. But
oh, you were there? But
I was
you,
there.
Right?
It wasn't me, but I was standing there when we were throwing those lines around.
You know, this person's on their third beer, and they're like challenging me as Nasty Nestor, that you're not really Nasty Nestor if you don't cut that ad.
Right.
Like,
I think there's
But it
a,
is true, by the way.
It might still be too soon because it doesn't have the nostalgia that it will ultimately have. But I was just going through sort of like that early coronavirus and then.
Oh, I spring. Thought you were just not paying attention to me.
Nah, spring into summer. I was listening. Spring into summer. And just the decisions, right? And like, it's. There's an interesting story right there, too.
Well, Luke will be happy to have been off the clock the last 60 days, but I know he's pissed when he has Zach Eflin and knows he can get it to people because we think that we were like journalists around here. So,
sure.
You know, look, I'm going to be writing a lot about my business and the tech service and what the Orioles and the Ravens have done to me and my business by trying to exterminate me or delegitimize me by not allowing me in because I've been a bad boy. So I'll be writing about all of that. I just would say this. I talked to both Senator Van Hollen and Cardin, and I don't even know how I got to this, but they both did like a real serious thing on journalism in my presence about how serious it is when you start to neuter news and play kayfabe and sort of go along with what everybody else does. And one of the things that I think you love and hate about me, and one of the things I really respect about you, is that like, sometimes you're a little weirdly independent. Now, you're not conspiratorial in the way that, let's say, Aaron Rodgers is. And that's a plug because I had Ian O'Connor on. But, you know, I think independent leads to sort of the UFO landing in Roswell and we go down the rabbit hole in that. But also your kind of independence leads you to not believe either side and question both sides very, very. And you always said in this, I listen to a lot of podcasts, listen to a lot of news. Sometimes I think you get your mind polluted by a Joe Rogan or a Joe Rogan guest. But I also think you want to hear what they're thinking to be able to question it. But a lot of people don't question it. They gospel it. And that goes on for me, too. I hope that my audience doesn't gospel what I say, that they actually do fact check me right on to the governor's office fact checking me. But in your case, this the independent part of fact-checking and where we are in the cosmos of what we believe and what we don't believe. Dude, the whole journalism thing is really falling apart in the country. And I have senators talking to me about it specifically as an FCC owner, a lifer journalist, or perceived by people outside of Greg Bader and Chad Steele to be a journalist. Everyone in my world views me as a journalist, you know,
right.
Including the senators who sit with me because I'm a journalist. That's why they're sitting with me, right? So that's – and to have the baseball and football team professionally, I'm going to be writing about that. But that's just in my own little ecosystem. And I found that I'll drop the mic and let you do whatever soliloquy. But I had Luke on. And, you know, Luke's on the inside and doesn't want to get thrown out after watching me get thrown out, right? So, like, he lives with that real fear, right, that they can do whatever they want whenever they want. But you do know they took $600 million of your money and my money. And I don't know if you got the bid or not. Maybe you're the one working on the roof. Who knows? But they took $600 million of our collective money and they shrank the press box to throw people like me out. And they moved the press box up under the victory arches of David Modell and Roy Summerhoff and Baker Koppelman, who always told me there were victory arches in the corners. That was the reason to get the corner PSL because you can set it under the victory arch for 750 instead of 500. And they moved the press box, the Kevin Byrne press box. This is I can't believe I'm fogging a glass and saying this out loud. I am banned from the Kevin Byrne press box that was built with our money and move and shrunk. And they had like they've moved the press up to the corner. So that's the next step, the moving them out, they've moved some of us out, right? And I'll talk to Viviano about this 2 weeks from now. But it's kind of telling. You know, that unto itself is its own little, snow shaker of like what they're all trying to do as they become their own media companies.
Well, that is 100% true. We've talked on that many times. I mean, the web is, massive on how these things connect across different parts of society and everything. But yeah, I mean, I will not. I am a professional skeptic. So for better or worse, like ask my people sometimes that drives them crazy. But the idea that they are such big businesses and the media, let's go, we'll sort of compartmentalize it. The television piece of media has become so fragmented with all the streaming and all this, that the world really is incentivizing them to create and control all of their own content because that's what they're all paying for.
It's
Netflix and
quadrupled the price, I think, for the direct ticket on Sunday, right? And now the Orioles have pissed off everybody in their fan base. And Luke said this week, and Luke's not a, like, we never talk, I never talk money with Luke, or because as much as they want him to sit with Sashi Brown, I'm the one qualified to do it. And he would point that out as well, right? But there's a point for them where they're trying to build their brand. And I'm writing letters to Katie Griggs, Mr. Rubenstein, the Whistler, Mr. Arrighetti, all of them for the future of the Orioles, and saying, if you're not getting the money from Cole Roofing or from Fadley's or me or Biz, I'm wearing, just showing the logos I'm wearing here, Royal Farms, Wise Markets, my sponsors, Toyota, different people, and fans aren't coming, and they're not coming right now. And like I'm writing about that. They were talking about it on BAL this week, right? Like, $65 a month to go, all you want to go, why aren't we all going? Like, it's like last year there were 20,000 people there the night they clinched, and I thought it was kind of sad. And I thought, well, this is a barometer of where it can grow too, but it needs to grow. And all of this leads to, do you make your customers feel good or bad? And last week, and Luke said this, it's like you get a bag of potato chips and you're charging more for it and putting more air in the potato chips and less chips. And that's what they're doing with their Birdland thing, like charging more, threatening the playoffs and the All-Star game, like all of that, access to that, and at whatever price they want. It's kind of like the PSL, you buy it, whatever we decide to charge you, that's what, you have the license. And then really chipping away at like the cheaper beers and the sandwiches and the goods and the swag. And I'm thinking, I don't, Southwest Airlines has been doing that to me for years on companion pass, and like now they're going to do the same. So like all of these companies are doing this to compete, but when the baseball team does it to its core fans, Southwest, I'm not a fan of Southwest. I like Southwest. You and I have talked about that. I fly it. I'm an advocate. It's a love mark, but it's not like being a baseball or football fan, where when the prices go up and the value goes down, the people go away. And in the Orioles case, they've never come back, and I want them to come back. And at what price point they're going to come back, I shudder for them to some degree, because I think their model's messy. And I don't mean that for these billionaires that are, Mr. Rubenstein just likes sitting behind home plate and having a good time, apparently, right? So he's having a good time with his $1 billion. But I mean, just for what it is and what it means to the community and the access point to saying it's affordable and I'm going to go down there and really be a part of it. How often can I afford to be a part of it down there and have it in my house? And how much do I want to be involved? Boy, it feels shrinking to me, not growing in that way. In the I'm all in and gonna give them my life the way me and Joe Enoch did.
Well, I find it. I mean, look, I don't know all the consequences of the baseball business, but like, I would have to have a contingent of interns giving me all the research around what would happen if we just eliminated weekday night games and only played Friday night, Saturday doubleheader, Sunday double, I don't know, whatever, and a Sunday game or something like that.
See, I'd stop you right there as the commissioner and to say that's not baseball because of pitching and the way we play the game, the way pitchers train. It's not. That's just not the way we play the game.
Well, I don't really care about the game. None of this discussion is about the game. This is about making money. The game is not the, like, you want to watch the game of baseball. Maybe go watch college baseball or go watch your local high school baseball team. Like what we're talking about is, how do we convince 45,000 people to come to that place in your background 81 times a year? And it might just be the case that that is an unreasonable ask. That is virtually impossible. There's not, you know, I don't know.
The Oakland A's have said that in the Bay Area, and the Expos quit, you know, I mean, and they've tried to quit on these communities and pit each other against each other, but Nashville apparently doesn't, and Charlotte, they don't really want a baseball team that bad. Austin, they don't want a team that bad. Portland, you know, these other places that want teams. We have the team. We have the stadium. We have the best team we've ever had on the field, bro. Right? Right? Why? Like, what's the selling point now other than they're going to charge more for everything moving forward and say we're going to give it all to Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson? Because that's really what we're talking about, man. You know, I remember one of the sweet sales people with the Ravens many, many years ago, the day that they signed McAllister, he got like an incredible bonus. It was like $18 million or something at that time. And all of the sweet sales for the year for the Ravens were like $22 million. That was their whole revenue base. And it's like, oh my God, every sweet we sold every game went just to put a cornerback on the team. That's where our model is. And I'm thinking, where's the first $50 million coming from for Rutschman, Holiday, whatever that, or Superstar X, Corbin Burns next year? I don't know. And if it's Mr. Rubenstein saying, I am 74 years old, I'll put an extra $50 million a year into payroll, it's going to come out the other end when I flip this thing for $3.2 billion because y'all gave me $600 million in civic money. If he wants to sit and play those numbers games with me straight up, if he wants me to play kayfabe like that MSNBC guy did a couple of months ago where I'm friends with Biden and friends with Trump. But I'm not political. I bought the team to make money. We expect to make money, but it's a philanthropy. Like, literally, that all happened in 6 minutes of Mr. Rubenstein. I don't know what their intentions are. Katie Griggs is coming in here thinking she's going to make money and they're going to fix this thing and they're going to do renovations and they're going to make more money. And I wonder who and where and how that money is coming, and I'm going to wonder that until I see it, because the Ravens have done the same thing. They booted Luke's ass out of the press box, me out of the stadium, to move him to the Kevin Byrne press box up on the roof, that I get to sit outside and know that I've been banned, know that they're not on the up and up, know that their integrity about media is not really on the up and up, and they're sitting with $600 million to do something and build a club that most people are never going to get into. Like, literally, that's what they did with the money. That's been the perception on the street. I mean, go.
Right.
Like, that's what the Ravens did. Now, what are the Orioles going to do? And I don't, this is where Janet Marie better be involved in this. You know what I mean? Like, because she knows the city, she knows the people. She made it awesome the first time, right? So, like, all of this for the future of the city, you and I talk in Baltimore positive. Man, the Ravens have done what they've done. They can win three Super Bowls and they'll be awesome. And we have championship games. We did that last year and we've done that before. But the baseball team is the potentiality of 81 games, as well as the Inner Harbor and, you know, how we become Disney World again. I had Mac on for 30 minutes down at Mako talking about the convention center. I mean, that's the real glue holding it all together. But what they do with this baseball team in this very, very tender period of time where you have a new owner, big shots, billionaires, you know, great team and a lot of money to try to reimagine it. Let's go. Let's go, man. Let's go. Let's reimagine this for all of baseball the way they did 30 years ago, because it changed the sport the first time.
Yeah, I don't have enough. Again, like, there's some questions that if you gave me the opportunity to like dig in and learn some more, like, there's a considerable difference between a corporate buyer versus a private buyer of tickets, right? It's not even fair to compare the two, and I don't know how teams manage the difference between those two and recognize who is the larger percent of their customer base. You know, like if 75% of your customers is flowing through corporations and business entities, then that's sort of the one that you're targeting and you build programs for. If 75% is coming through private families, you know, like just people buying tickets, then that is a different model. And
Well, it's
sometimes,
also how many people want your product and how many people can afford your product at both levels. At both, I mean, Cole Roofing may think it's cool to have your name on the outfield wall. That costs this. Cole Roofing may think, hey, give me eight seats in a suite 6 times a year. Let me figure out how to use it. What's the cost of doing that versus taking all of your employees to Ocean City or
right.
whatever, or doing a business thing in Las Vegas, or having to do a convention in Chicago for your business and how you do business, which they would say on the golf course, up in the club level, because that was always the promise that these people sold, was that it was better than a golf course because you could sit there in a ball game and do business and bring the wives and bring the kids and feel real nice about each other. And that would create that warmth that we always talk about at Accelerant, as a community. But people have to feel in line with that brand as well.
I just think that when we debate progress of the teams or their management or the decisions they're making, we need to clarify whether we are talking about average Joe fan or corporate buyer, because they have different profiles as customers, and we don't really know what's said inside the boardroom in regards to their sales strategies of how they're going to sell this or where they're going next or what the future of this holds. I mean, from a distance, without unpacking too much, I don't really think that any of the professional sports organizations care at all about average Joe as a buyer. Average Joe as an attendee is a thing, but the ticket that they use is bought by some other enterprise. And that's how they see the majority of this going down. The majority of the dollars flowing through them are coming from other companies, other businesses, right? And so it doesn't necessarily translate to the person that uses the ticket, but
Well,
that's the
that's what
person that's
traditionally
buying the
killed them.
ticket.
As a guy taking phone calls here, that executive X would have 50 tickets sitting in his desk at the end of the year, and they were $48 a piece. And he looked down and said, "Oh my God, we ate
We couldn't give them away.
$12,000 worth
Sure.
of tickets that we couldn't give away. No
Right.
one wanted these in my company of 120 people. No one wanted to go to these games. Then why do we have these tickets?" And that happened here a generation ago. And the Angelos people were so derelict about all of this and the optics of everything that became Free the Birds and everything since Free the Birds and their petty nature with people like me and even banning their own broadcaster last year. You know what I mean? Like, so
Right.
you don't have to go real far to figure out how deeply, jaded I am about all of this, but just in a general sense to say, are you going to be transparent or am I going to have to play kayfabe in order to be in your little fake wonderland where your owner shows up and they make videos with Cal Ripken like he's running the place and he has a desk there and I want to really know what's going on. That's what journalists do. And if you're transparent, you'd have no problem showing me around. Because you should have nothing to do with Angelos, and nor do I. All I've ever done is love the baseball team. I'll continue to point that out. You
Well, I
know
think
that.
that,
I know. I feel like a wrestler. You know that. I know that. The people know that. You know, like it's true.
I think that's like more leading back to that original comment of like, you know, I really just think 81 games is too many because,
Oh, geez, but that's a non-starter.
yeah, but okay, so guys were eating tickets when the team was
Bobblehead
bad.
on Wednesday
Fine.
night to more than 5,000 people, and people come.
But they don't. But that's what we're talking about right now. We have, there is nothing to not like about the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even like when we were good with Rafael Palmeiro and Robbie Alomar. Like there were still some people who were like, I don't like, you know, I don't like those guys, whatever. They you know, there's none of that. There is literally no reason not to love this team.
I
And they
talk about him
win.
7 days a week. I watch him say,
So if
right?
we can't build
And
a
they hate
stadium
me.
now.
They hate
Like,
me. The
if
old
we
people
can't.
have made the new people hate me. They hate me. So, but I love them, you know.
But if
It's
we can't fill the
Stockholm
stadium,
syndrome.
if we can't fill the stadium in this environment, then what are we talking
Dude, if
about?
you can't get me down there, who are you getting? I guess that's
Right.
the point.
What, I mean,
Bill,
what are we
you know,
talking about?
I know you got roofs. What's going on in the roofing world? I mean, your people already sent me a thing telling me my roof, and I think it's time for me, and you need to talk me into it for sure.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was a pretty smooth transition there, Ness. I think we went from, trying to sell out the ballpark to trying to fix your roof. The big push right now is
We're
sort
going
of
to be trying
like
to sell the ballpark for a long time. We're not going to fix that next year, Dick.
the big push right now is just all around preventative maintenance. Like, they've been pushing a promotion all summer for like $500. You can get a inspection done, and then, we kind of help you get set up to extend the life long term. And that, fall is
I want
really
to
the
figure
time
out
to
how to
dig
put
into
that
that.
into the tech service. The little, you know what I mean? When we send the
Yeah.
tech service out, brought to you by Cole Roofing. Cole Roofing now offering, right? There
Right.
you go.
Right. That's great. No, I mean, I
Coming
th
there.
like people just. Nobody wants to buy a new roof. I get it. It's not something that you get to use or even see. So let us come up with strategies to extend that life so that you don't have to buy one. That's really the message right now.
So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get my Raskin Global crab claw, and I'm gonna strike the gavel and say, "Let it be done that the WNST tech service returns." How about that? You good?
Sounds good to me.
I'm gonna cut a new commercial. He's Bill Cole. I'm Nestor. We'll get together and argue again soon. He's out at the front of Baltimore Positive. If you own a company, own a corporate space, a corporate roof, let him get up there and take a look around. Maybe even for that Gordian Energy Solar as well. Back for more of Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.